Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
150 years ago, gave birth to a special place called America. It was a small cluster of colonies caught between a great ocean and a vast wilderness. It was home to an incredible people with a revolutionary idea that they could rule themselves, that they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Well, hi, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to Praying for America, where we're going to bring you some breaking news from President Trump himself tonight. Very important. You may have heard about it already. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then I also want to talk with you about the Supreme Court and the discussions that have been going on with the special commission that Biden set up in regard to ideas about changing the court. And of course, a lot of this is just nonsense from the left because they don't like the direction the court is going. And well, bottom line is, too bad, elections have consequences. But the point is then that we begin, as we always do, with going into scripture, and then we'll talk about all these important developments. I want to read for you from Luke chapter 12, dependence on God, starting in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Notice the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more important are you than birds? Can any of you, by worrying, add a moment to your lifespan? If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why are you anxious about the rest? Notice how the flowers grow. They do not toil or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass in the field that grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O little of little faith? As for you, do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink. Do not worry anymore. All the nations of the world seek for these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these other things will be given you besides. Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give to the poor. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." Let us pray. Father, you ask us to put all our trust in you. You know our future because you are already there. And you have guided us through our past and ask us likewise not to be concerned either about that or about the future. You ask us only to place ourselves in your hands and acknowledge that we are indeed under your care. And you ask us, Lord, in terms of our desires, to set them above all upon you and your kingdom, and all our needs, all our fulfillment, all our salvation will follow from that. Give this lesson to us as individuals, as families, and as a nation. And as President Trump always says, remind our nation that our trust is not in government, but in God. Our trust, O Lord, is in you, just as our founding fathers made so clear. With all the difficulties that we are facing as a nation and a world and as families and as individuals and as churches, let us indeed learn the lesson that Jesus gives us from the ravens and the flowers and be at peace each day in your presence. We come into your presence to pray tonight for America and for one another as we share with each other our prayer needs. Send your Holy Spirit to address these needs and keep us safe in your care. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, you know, brothers and sisters, such a key lesson in this reading, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. In other words, whatever you accumulate, you're going to get attached to it. The heart is going to follow after the things that you are taking so much time and trouble to gather up. So if you gather up spiritual treasure in good works, in virtue, in trust in God, in prayer, in witness to the gospel, if you gather up spiritual goods, your heart is going to be more and more attached to spiritual goods. If you gather treasure in heaven, that's where your heart will be. But if you keep gathering treasure on earth, well, there's a certain amount of earthly goods that obviously we need and that God wants us to have. But if we gather that up in such a way that we're just accumulating things, and we put our trust more and more in those things, that's where our heart is going to be. We're going to get attached to it. And if there's a conflict then between gathering earthly goods and following the commandments of God, the temptation is going to be stronger to disobey God in one way or another in order for the sake of keeping those earthly goods. We see spiritual leaders falling into this all the time, where the liabilities, you know, and the assets of their institution end up dominating their heart and dominating their mind and dominating their decisions, even their pastoral decisions. And we see them sometimes keeping quiet about the key moral issues of the day because they don't want to lose their physical assets. Shame on them. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Be careful what you are gathering up. Keep the focus on the kingdom. Well, tonight we have some breaking news from President Donald Trump. It's been out. Right Side Broadcasting has reported on this already. We've had it at Priests for Life up on our website and social media. But it's something I want you to know and to take action on. And that is that he has announced what his social media platform is going to be. For a long time, we've been speculating, is he going to start a media company? Is he going to start a social media platform? Well, he is going to do that. And it's called Truth Social. The word truth, it's so important that he has focused on this word because that's what's been under attack, isn't it? That's what's under attack all the time from the left. There is such a thing as truth. And many of those who are speaking the truth have been silenced, are being silenced. It is a phenomenon that takes place in the secular world. It even takes place in some churches. Preachers of the truth are punished in various ways. Truth Social, the word is so important. And this is going to be a social media app, and it's already available for pre-ordering on the App Store. President Trump has created the Trump Media and Technology Group, TMTG, the Trump Media and Technology Group, and they are, he's going to be the chairman of this group, and they are the ones bringing us this Truth Social, which is going to be in its beta version in the coming months, with limited access. But like I said, you can pre-order it on the App Store. And then it's expected to be fully launched in March of 2022, which is just around the corner. And I wanted to make sure that you knew about this. And I want you to do two simple actions. If you go to the App Store and search for Truth Social, you'll be able to find it and download the app. If you go to the website, truthsocial.com, you will be able to see there a place where you can sign up to receive updates about this. Be plugged in right from the start. Because as we have said, as we will continue to say, the political path forward for making and keeping America great is indeed to follow the lead of President Trump, the things that he is saying, the things that he is doing, follow the endorsements that he is making, and you can stay connected with all of this, of course, obviously, through Right Side Broadcasting, obviously, through Priests for Life, obviously, through many other groups that are advancing the America First agenda that President Trump has laid out for us. But now, from President Trump himself, you'll be able to get this additional source of information. Right now, in the meantime, until this is fully launched, of course, as I have been saying on other programs, you go to donaldjtrump.com/news, and you'll be able to see his daily messages. And those are very important to read each day. They're very short. You can easily keep up on them. Just get into the habit of going there. But please, for the action for this program, download, pre-order the Truth Social on the App Store and go to truthsocial.com and sign up for those email updates. Really, really great news. I was so glad to hear it and glad to see Right Side Broadcasting getting the story out on that right away, and wanted to make sure we chatted about it for a few moments. So I want to talk to you here also to, let's pray. Let's pray for this new initiative. Lord, we thank you for the ongoing work that President Trump and his advisors and his family and his team are doing. We ask your hand of protection and blessing upon his new initiative, Truth Social, and upon the Trump Media and Technology Group. Lord, we know that media and technology are so essential to the preservation of our nation, and that these tools are often misused against the values of our nation. But Lord, we thank you for this new effort to use these tools in a positive way. We ask you, Lord, to give success to this work, give success to these efforts, and enable your people to more strongly and deeply connect with each other across these platforms in order to know what they need to know and to share the ideas that continue to inspire the vision of making and keeping America great. We know, Lord God, that your Son said that he is the truth, that he came to bear witness to the truth, and in the face of the worldly powers of Pilate, he was asked, what is truth? And so many in our world today, Lord, ask the same question. They don't know what truth is. They think each person creates his or her own truth. But we thank you, Lord God, for the knowledge of the truth, which is actually a person, which is the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Continue to root us in that truth, because as he said, the truth will set us free. We pray in the name of that same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay, friends, I want to talk to you about something we've also discussed before on this program, but I have some updated information about it. The Supreme Court and the discussions that have been going on by some who want changes in the Supreme Court. Now, why would anyone want changes in the Supreme Court? Well, what if President Trump had the chance, which of course he did, and he carried it out faithfully and successfully, to put not one, not two, but three justices on the U.S. Supreme Court? This is historically way above the average. I mean, if a president gets to put two justices on the Supreme Court in the space of 8 years as president, two terms, that's quite an accomplishment. And a number of our recent presidents have been able to do exactly that. But President Trump, in just one term, put three onto the court. This was, we knew that there was a big change that would be coming because of the ages of the justices. And now, as time goes on, I mean, Justice Breyer right now is the oldest on the court and would likely be the next one to leave the court. Although, of course, nobody knows God's plans. But the point is that there aren't going to be that many opportunities in the foreseeable future for presidents to place justices on the Supreme Court, because there are nine of them, and there have been nine for a long time. The Constitution doesn't specify the number, as we know, but nine has proved to be, throughout our history, a very workable number. And there are only so many times that there can be changes on the court in these lifetime terms of these justices. The point is, President Trump has shaped one third of the Supreme Court, and that is a big accomplishment. Of course, the left, they're going crazy. First of all, they've always relied on the courts, not the people, because the people don't share their views. All right, the left knows that. They're radical, they're extreme, they're out of touch, they're disconnected, they don't have popular support, and, except fringe lunatics. And so they find judges on courts who are equally fringe lunatics in order to uphold their crazy ideas. That's how it has worked over these decades of us seeing the radical policies of the left assert themselves in our country. So what happens when the courts get taken away from them? Well, first they go crazier than they already are. They are, okay, and they get worse. But second, then they try to lash out at the very, this is the irony, tool that they have always relied on to advance their idiotic ideas. They begin then attacking it, undermining its legitimacy, and they complain that the very legitimate outcome of the political process is somehow illegitimate. This isn't even logic. This kind of, you can't call it reasoning either. Let's call it venting. This kind of venting is all that the left can do. They don't have anything else, because they see that, well, the court is going now in a conservative direction, in a pro-life direction. I mean, as we've been talking very much on these programs, the Supreme Court is considering a major abortion case right now that could, my friends, it could reverse Roe versus Wade itself and allow the states to start protecting the unborn children in a very dramatic way. The left doesn't know what to do about this. Of course, they don't know what to do about anything anyway, but they really don't know what to do about this. So what do they do? Well, they say, well, you know, it's not legitimate that President Trump has put three justices on the court. Well, it's perfectly legitimate. It was all done according to the Constitution and according to the law. And most reasonable people will acknowledge that. They just don't like the outcome. And so the bottom line then is that they will try to say, we have to fix the court. Well, you know, you don't have to fix the fact that President Trump won the election, the Republican senators won their elections, and they did the work that the Senate is supposed to do in confirming the justices that the president appoints. Again, it was all done according to the Constitution and the law. And somehow because they don't like the outcome, they're going to say, okay, well, here's what we need to do. Let's expand. And this was an old idea. We've talked about it before. Court packing. Let's expand the number of justices on the court. You see, they wish that they had been able to fill those three vacancies. They wish that it had been Hillary Clinton able to set three justices on the Supreme Court. Didn't happen. And of course, they're talking about that with their therapists right now to try to accept the fact that that didn't happen. And those therapy sessions, by the way, they're very expensive. Can you imagine the bill that people on the left are, can you imagine the amount of money being spent on therapists right over these, let's say, the last 5 years. Since 2016, somebody should calculate the amount of money that's been spent in therapists' offices for people on the left that just can't get a grip on reality. They can't do it. Okay, they don't believe in truth, and which makes it hard for them to accept the truth about anything, and accept what's in their own imagination. And so the therapy sessions, my goodness. these therapists, they are raking it in. They are getting so, I mean, and I'm sure they hope President Trump gets back in office, because they're going to get all kinds of money coming. Their list of clients is going to be, you know, through the roof. Okay. Biden puts together this commission to talk about, you know, let's study what could be done about the court. See, again, the Constitution establishes that there be a Supreme Court, it establishes how the justices get on the Supreme Court, but it doesn't establish the number of justices. So this study commission is looking at various topics about the court, but primary among them is, should we be initiating now an effort to expand? Because you see, if you can expand the number, let's say instead of 9, there were 15. Well, then that gives the Democrats currently holding, albeit a very slim one, a majority in the Congress and also the White House. We might say they have a slim hold on the White House, too, considering the circumstances. That would give them the opportunity to all of a sudden have like 6 seats that they could fill with people who obviously would be of their leaning. And then therefore give, instead of a 6-3 conservative majority on the court, give them a 9-6 left-wing majority. And that's what they would like to see. So the bottom line is that this committee has been meeting. They've been meeting over the course of 5 months. They met most recently last Friday. And they're about ready to issue a report, which is supposed to be delivered to Biden on November 14th. I'm sure they'll send somebody over to, help him read it, help explain it to him. And, you know, they'll bring little diagrams with magic markers and, colors and all different things like that. But, you know, the initial reports coming out of this commission show some real hesitancy about this idea. The last time it was tried by FDR, even though he had a Democrat support in Congress, he had Democrat control of Congress, they didn't support this idea. Because you know what? It's so blatantly partisan. It's so blatantly political. It's so obvious what's going on here. Oh, well, let's just expand the number of seats on the court so that we can craft our majority and fill the seats with the kind of justices we want. But you see, the problem is, if you do that once, you can do it again, can't you? I mean, the next time then that the Republicans control the White House, the House, and the Senate, well, they can just, you know, they could either reduce the number or they could expand it even more. And you just then, and now all of a sudden, the very makeup of the court just becomes a political football going back and forth, and you do not have an independent judiciary anymore. And that's the point. It's not whose side does the court come down on at any given point in time is not the primary argument. The argument is, where's the independent judiciary that's supposed to be above the winds of political change? Let's look at what some of but by the way, this commission is made up of 36 legal scholars, lawyers, and formal federal judges. And what did they say? Here's an excerpt from their initial report. Commissioners are divided on whether court expansion would be wise, the preliminary report says. Court expansion is likely to undermine rather than enhance the Supreme Court's legitimacy and its role in the constitutional system. And there are significant reasons to be skeptical that expansion would serve democratic values. Okay, it's so true, right? It would undermine the court's legitimacy. Again, people are going to look at it just as a political football. Many already do. And that's not good. It's not supposed to be, the judges are not supposed to be politicians, not supposed to be choosing them based on their positions on issues, but rather on their impartiality. It's the way it's supposed to be. The report goes on, the risks of court expansion are considerable. in including that it could undermine the very goal of some of its proponents of restoring the court's legitimacy. If the country and the political system were to be embroiled in repeated fights over court expansion, that alone could harm the Supreme Court's public reputation. Well, again, that makes sense, because you think then that if they do this now, others aren't going to do it later. If politicians now basically hijack the court for political purposes, you don't think that politicians who come after them are going to work to undo it? I mean, once you've opened that gate, you know, we're off to the races. Now, there was a separate 16-person commission arranged, consisting of Supreme Court lawyers and former solicitors general, who have shared their views also about major changes to the court. And they were likewise negative. Listen to this. The group unanimously opposed proposals to enlarge the court because, quote, the increasing the number of justices represents an escalation of the problem, not a solution. And a larger bench could make arguments less productive, deliberations more difficult. Like I said, we've by experience learned that 9 is a pretty good number, and left-leaning judges have agreed with that. Deliberations more difficult and yield even more opinions with less clarity in the law. This was a quote from Maureen Mahoney, the co-chair of the committee. Expanding the court would lead to, quote, further partisan, poisonous, mutual acrimony. That was from Michael McConnell, a Stanford Law School professor, who went on to say, I don't think there's any doubt that it would be viewed rightly or wrongly, I think rightly, by all Republicans as an illegitimate move, a manipulation and an abuse of power, an attempt to undermine our constitutional system. I suspect that the public would come around to that point of view as well. You see, there's a difference between, look, we have an established number of justices. We have an established process for putting the justices on the court. Yes, it does get affected by elections. We're saying that all the time. When there are elections, we're saying, hey, listen to, you know, what kind of judicial philosophy your president or would-be president has. Your senators, ask them, because one of their responsibilities is to confirm justices or not. Sure, there's an intersection with politics. Nobody's denying that's an obvious intersection with politics. But there's a difference between the established procedure playing itself out constitutionally and legally and changing things radically at a moment when one side doesn't like the direction that the court is going, and changing it in such a way that obviously benefits that losing side, but further politicizes the court. And that's where this quote comes in. It would exacerbate the problem. In other words, if the problem is that people think the court has become too political, I'll tell you what the line of solution is. It's not easy, but I think it's clear. Elections do matter. You elect senators and you elect a president that have the right judicial philosophy. And then in the confirmation process, which, by the way, you do have a voice by lobbying your senators who have to approve or disapprove of these judges, not just on the Supreme Court, but on the other courts, make your voice heard and insist that they nominate impartial judges. I mean, that's the solution. If you think the court is too political, depoliticize it by focusing on the type of nominees that you support and through you, that your senators support, not based on their positions on issues, but based on their judicial philosophy. But again, elections do have consequences. We have to allow the consequences to take place, including the consequences it has on the court. But then to take a radical action like this and to say, oh, well, you know, the court is not legitimate. Why? Well, not because we didn't follow the constitutional process for confirming justices, but because, you know, they have a right-wing ideology. They have too conservative ideology. Well, where in the law or in the Constitution does it say that the judges are supposed to have a one or another position along the ideological spectrum? It doesn't. Well, people on the left aren't happy. They aren't happy with the initial reports that are coming out of this commission. Like I say, in a few weeks, we'll have more to say about this when Biden gets the full report. But we do know that two of the more conservative members of this 36-member commission resigned after the meeting that they had this past Friday. Now, they didn't give a reason. Maybe some other reasons have come out. I haven't seen them. But there were two members that resigned. And that's interesting. And that may indicate a strong backlash happening on the part of the folks on the left. We'll see. We know they're unhinged. We know they're nuts. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this report, the report is not supposed to be making a recommendation per se. It's supposed to be a study commission. Analyze it and present to the administration the research. We'll see what happens, but to be continued. Let's pray. Father, we come before you praying for America, and in doing so, Lord, we pray for the courts. We pray for the Supreme Court, and we pray in regard to these deliberations that are happening now that people will have the good sense to prevent the court from being further politicized. Lord, we know what the role of judges is supposed to be, to impartially apply the law and the Constitution, and that if those existing laws or constitutional interpretations differ from what their personal position is on issues, that the solution there, Lord, is the legislative branch. The solution there is creating public consensus that translates into the election of people who believe in certain positions, and then the implementation of those positions through constitutional lawmaking processes. That's the path, Lord, that we pray our legislatures, our courts, our voters, and all these different entities and commissions and deliberations will follow. Bring us on that path, Lord God. Bless this nation, and we pray now the very words Jesus gave us to pray for our nation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, thank you for watching. Remember, go to Truth Social on the App Store and pre-order President Trump's new app. Go to truthsocial.com and register for the updates there. So, and follow me on social media at Fr. Frank Pavone. Follow Right Side Broadcasting at RSB Network. Let's stay connected. Let's stay encouraged. And may the Lord bless you and answer all your prayers. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Spread the word about this program, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.